the Savior, Andrew, the Apostle Paul, others, they had a passion for souls. They reached out to others with the gospel of Christ. The gospel wasn't to be hid by them. It wasn't their secret lifestyle. It was a message that had to be shared. Why? Because it is the greatest message in the world. And dear believer, you and I need to understand that and live in light of that. The message of the gospel that we preach, that we believe, that we hold to, is the greatest message that the world has ever seen. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton and this is Let the Bible Speak. We are considering at the moment the importance of true faith leading to evangelism. Those who are truly saved by the power of Christ, those who are truly converted, are those who then should display in their hearts and in their lives a desire for others to know about Christ and to turn from their sin unto the Savior. Therefore, their true faith leads to evangelism.
Andrew here, the faith that he had in Christ, he had found the Messiah, the one who would redeem Israel. It led to a passion for souls. Others had to hear this great news, the Messiah had come. Others had to hear that there was a Savior and a Redeemer. And he went and told his own brother, "Dear believer, is that the desire of your heart today? That as you think upon the glorious gospel of Christ, and as you think upon Christ saving yourself, and the joy that flows from that, and the desire that you have to go forward with God, that there is that passion for telling others, that others need to hear this message." There's a biblical mandate for this. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He looked at his brethren, those who came from the same nation of Israel, and he looked upon them. He said again, "I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." He loved his brethren. He pray that God would save them. Brethren who had turned against him and tried to kill him. Brethren who persecuted him because of the gospel of Christ. His desire was that they too would see the glorious gospel. Dear believer, when you look at others in this world, not just friends and family. That's the easy part sometimes. But when you look at those who oppose the message of Christ, and we think of those in society who hate the Word of God. And we think of those in society who post on social media hatred against Christians. I think of that post that I saw on Facebook many years ago. And there was a debate about Christians and ethics and all sorts. And this person came on and said, "All Christians should be given the lethal injection." Coming from a heart filled with sin. Whether he meant it or not, I don't know, but he said it. Is that not often the reaction of the world? Hatred and vileness and wickedness showing forth the corruption of the heart to believers. That wasn't a leader in society. It was just an ordinary, random person who probably shouldn't have had a social media account, but they had. And this is what they said. And when we think of people like that, oh, it's easy to pray for friends and pray for our family and desire them to be saved. But what about those who speak like that about us and speak worse things about our Savior and our Redeemer? And those who blaspheme the name of God, and those wicked, vile sinners who have the blood of innocent people upon their hands. All are souls to be saved. The false teacher, the heretic, those that follow false religion, all need Christ as their Savior. We can often think we preach against false religion, we preach against error, we preach against heresy. But we ought always to remember that there are souls that need the Savior, souls that need saved. And maybe you're an example of that. Maybe you came out of false religion. You came out of Catholicism, or you came out of some other religion or cult or whatever it might be, and you found Christ as your Savior. The Savior redeemed you and saved you and changed you. You know that those who are in error, those who are in a heresy, those who are in false religion can be saved because you were. Oh, is there a love and compassion for others? C.H. Spurgeon said, he captured it well when he said, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that." What is he saying? True faith leads to evangelism. True faith leads to telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It reflects a biblical example, a principle that salvation awakes within the soul a love for others and a desire for them to be saved. Richard Baxter the Puritan had a love for souls. He said, "I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." In other words, he preached as if he would never preach again. This would be his last sermon. He was a dying man preaching to those who were dying. There's an urgency in reaching out with the gospel. Another Puritan, Joseph Alleyn, author of a book called An Alarm to the Unconverted, he wrote, "Give me children or I die. Give me souls or else I die. Let me not live to be barren." And they saw, the Puritans saw the importance of evangelism. We need the Spirit of God to work in our souls, to give us that passion. Spurgeon said, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind," speaking in the 1800s, of course. Today we could say we are ships without engines, whatever it is, branches without sap, coals without fire. Dear believer, do you desire to have a passion for souls? We can think of the Church of Christ, and often a passion for souls can feed. Often we can lose our zeal for evangelism. We can think of worldliness. What does worldliness do? Worldliness chokes our urgency for the lost. We can think of a coldness that can come upon us, a dry orthodoxy that lacks passion. We can think of the fear of men. Many today will not tell others of Christ. Why? They're worried about what they'll say. They're concerned about the questions they'll receive or the actions that might follow. There's a fear of man. And dear believer, we are to have our faith and trust in Christ. We are to have upon us that gospel armor, that Christian armor. We're not to be concerned about the fear of man, because we serve a Savior who is above man, the great captain of our salvation. Many are more afraid of rejection, a social rejection by others, than be concerned about those who are lost. Passion for souls can decrease because of a lack of prayer, a lack of belief in Christ. We lose sight of the power of the gospel. We lose sight of the importance of prayer. And therefore, if there is a lack of passion for souls, it is an issue of the heart. It is our hearts that need examined. It is our hearts that need addressed. Andrew here heard this great news. The Messiah had come. The one who was the Lamb of God. And what did he do? He first findeth his own brother. The very first thing he did after he heard the message, after he knew that truth and he believed, he found his brother. Dear believer, we need to have a passion for souls. We need to have a passion for the lost. Spurgeon says, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms round about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Richard Baxter said, to preach Christ is to love men's souls. Spurgeon went back to the very foundation of this. He said, I would rather be the means of saving a soul from death than be the greatest orator on earth. Saving a soul, not saving 2 or 4 or 5,000. I would rather be the means of saving a soul from death than be the greatest orator on earth. How would that look in the life of Spurgeon? Well, first of all, we wouldn't know who he was. This random preacher in England in the 19th century. No manuscripts exist, no sermons exist, no records of his great skill as a preacher, absolutely nothing. But there was one soul somewhere down the line who heard him and who turned from sin. And Spurgeon said, I would be happy with that. I would be happy just seeing one soul saved and all the fame that may come. Dear believer, we need a passion for souls. How do we cultivate that? Moving outside our text, how do we cultivate that? Well, we have to meditate upon the cross. We have to think about the love of Christ. The more that we understand the love of Christ for us, the more that we will love others, the more we will be moved by the love of Christ. We're to pray for the lost. We're to pray continually for the lost. That reminds us of the great need they have to hear the gospel. We can read and understand the testimonies of men in Scripture and history who found Christ. Oh, the great stories by which men have testified of God's great salvation. We're to consider hell and judgment and how dreadful it is. What does it do? It keeps everything real. We understand the effects of sin and what others are facing. We're to ask for the help of the Spirit. We depend upon Him. We can do nothing without Him. There's something else we need to do. We need to open our mouths. We need to speak. We need to share the gospel. Dear believer, if you had opportunities this week to share the gospel, to tell others of Christ, if you had an opportunity this week to say to an individual, would you like to come to church? Would you like to come to hear the preaching of God's word? Whatever way you word that, have you invited others in? Andrew went and he found his own brother. He had a passion, a zeal that he would hear the gospel. Why? Because of the greatness and the power of Christ. Come and see the Messiah. Come and see the one who has been promised to be the Savior, the Redeemer. And when we think of Christ, when we think of His love for us, His passion for us, dear believer, there is absolutely no excuse why we shouldn't have a passion and a love for our Savior and a love and a passion for those who were yet dead in their trespasses and in their sins. When we think of the wonder of Christ and the person of Christ and what the Savior has accomplished, oh, the love of Christ to you, there should be no excuse for a lack of love from us to our Savior and a lack of love from us to those who are dead in their sins. Oh, that the Lord would stir up within us a passion for souls, that He would indeed work within our hearts, that we would turn from sin, we would turn from those things that will hinder us, and we would embrace Christ and live for Christ and witness for Christ. But when we think of the great message of the gospel, dear unbeliever, what about you? What about you who are yet in your sins? You who are cold at heart? You who perhaps know very little of the truth of the gospel of Christ, but you know the Bible says you're a sinner. You know that Christ is the Savior. But you don't have that peace, that joy. What is evangelism all about? It's about telling you there is a Savior who can redeem you. A Savior who can step into your life. A Savior who can change your heart and change your soul. A Savior who can lift you from the depths of sin and change your soul for all eternity. How marvelous that is. That is the greatest message in this world. And oh, that you would look to Christ. You would believe in Christ. Your life would be changed. You would have that desire to tell others of Christ and rejoice in what the Savior has done. Oh, those who are cold at heart, maybe you've lost the love, the joy that you once had for Christ. Once, perhaps, years ago, there was a desire, that flaming zeal for the Savior. And as time went by, other things took priority. Life moved on, and your heart is growing cold. You might go through the motions, but the zeal is gone. Maybe once upon a time, you went into the workplace, and you were on fire for God, and you wanted to tell others of the need of a Savior and invite them to come to church or to hear this sermon or to read this gospel tract. And you had this desire to tell others. But that hasn't happened in a long while. You've become cold at heart. Your zeal for Christ is not where it needs to be. And when we look at Andrew here, there was a passion for Christ. His passion for souls was built upon his passion for Christ. Oh, you need to come back to the Savior. You need to refresh yourself in what Christ has done. You need to turn from those things that have taken your attention of Christ, and you're to live for Him and for Him alone. The Word of God reminds us that He can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And when we look at the New Testament, we think of the apostles who were on fire for God. We think of the apostle Paul who was moved with the love of Christ for him. And that's a picture of where we need to be, dear believer. Andrew, who met the Savior. Notice what the Word of God says. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They met the Savior. And what did they do? They followed him. They followed him. They wanted to know more about him. And they dwelt with him that day. They abode with him that day. They spent time with the Savior. Their lives were changed because of Christ. There was faith. And as Andrew left, he first findeth his own brother. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Dear believer, if you're down, discouraged, there's a lack of passion and zeal, Christ can give that to you. We see that here, how Andrew's passion for Christ was all because of who the Savior is. His faith led to a passion for souls. Our time is almost gone. There's a few other thoughts, as you see in the bulletin. And in the will of God, we'll come back to this next Lord's Day. Our message next week will be a little shorter because of Children's Day. That might tie in well to what we have left to consider. But let us consider that a passion for souls. It was our intention to preach everything today, but we most definitely need to have a passion for souls. And that begins with our passion for Christ. As we close, what of your passion for Christ? How has that changed over the years? We look at ourselves every day. We look at ourselves in the mirror. We look at ourselves in the scales. We look at ourselves day by day as we go about our business. We see the changing years. We see the gray hairs. We see the wrinkles. We maybe start to see very little, and that's our eyes aging, and we need glasses and all sorts of things to help. We see ourselves growing, but growing old. We see ourselves growing mature. That's perhaps a better term. We're maturing. But as Christians, our passion for Christ should mature as well. Not grow old and die, but mature. It's like those who are mature in years should be wiser, should have more experience because of their years. And when we think of our passion for Christ over the years, it should be growing. Over the years, it should be maturing. Over the years, it should not be lacking in zeal. It should be growing and growing and growing and growing. Like that tree that starts off as a little shrub and it grows and grows and grows. So should our passion for Christ. Every day as we look at our faces in the mirror, as we see how tired we are, or we realize we need to fix how we look before we go out into the public world, what about our relationship with Christ? We don't see that in the mirror, but we're to examine ourselves and we're to look at our hearts. Do we have that passion for our Savior? And what does that passion lead to? As true faith leads to evangelism, a true passion for Christ will lead to a true passion for souls. Oh, that we would concentrate upon this. We would seek the Lord. This would be our emphasis this morning, that as you go away and go home, that you would think on these two things. Do I have a passion for Christ? Is that passion growing? I was saved 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I was saved 50 years ago. I've been saved longer than the pastor's been alive. But is that passion for Christ, has it been growing all those years? And the second aspect of that, what about the passion for souls that is connected to my passion for Christ? Is that growing? Is there outward evidence of that in how I live and speak to others about Christ? Am I like Andrew, who's been changed by Christ, and I want to go and tell? I found the Messiah. I found the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Let us think on these things, and let us come back next Lord's Day to consider these other aspects. May the Lord bless His word to our souls. For you.
C.H. Spurgeon brings us today to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, Christ who is our life. Paul's marvelously rich expression indicates that Christ is the source of our life. You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That same voice which brought Lazarus out of the tomb raised us to newness of life. He is now the substance of our spiritual life. It is by his life that we live. He is in us, the hope of glory, the spring of our actions, the central thought which moves every other thought. Christ is the sustenance of our life. What can the Christian feed upon but Jesus' flesh and blood? This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. O way-worn pilgrims in this wilderness of sin, you never get a morsel to satisfy the hunger of your spirits, except ye find it in him. Christ is the solace of our life. All our true joys come from him, and in times of trouble his presence is our consolation. There's nothing worth living for but him, and his loving kindness is better than life. Christ is the object of our life. As speeds the ship towards the port, so haste the believer towards the haven of his Saviour's bosom. As flies the arrow to its goal, so flies the Christian toward the perfecting of his fellowship with Christ Jesus. As the soldier fights for his captain and is crowned in his captain's victory, so the believer contends for Christ and gets his triumph out of the triumphs of his master. For him to live is Christ. Christ is the exemplar of our life. Where there is the same life within, there will, there must be, to a great extent, the same developments without. And if we live in near fellowship with the Lord Jesus, we shall grow like him. We shall set him before us as our divine copy, and we shall seek to tread in his footsteps, until he shall become the crown of our life in glory. Oh, how safe, how honored, how happy is the Christian, since Christ is our life. Thank you for joining us today and Let the Bible Speak. We trust that the ministry of God's Word has been a blessing to you. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.